following the rules.
This is Dr. Herbert O. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Following the rules. Following the rules. Following the rules. Boy, do we hate following the rules, especially when they're not ours. And when they're ours, we hate following them even more. We don't tell people what our rules are for ourselves because we don't want to have to follow them. If people know what our rules are, they're going to expect us to be living our rules, and if we don't live our rules, then they will think that we're not following our rules. Now, that sounds like a lot of gobbledygook, and it is. Ellen brought up the problem at the table today. She said the county wants us to separate our trash by January 2010. And I said, well, have you ever done that before? Oh, yes, yes, yes. In Europe, we've done that since I was a little child. When I was a little child, we separated trash. When I was a little child, we separated trash. When I was a little child, we separated trash. Well, now, Sylvia and Ingeborg and Ellen are now, they say 25, I think it's really 23, 25 years old. Well, now, so when they were a little child, so for 20 years, they've been separating trash in their homeland. Now, when they came here, that's another question. When they came here, they were freed of all restrictions. We have a trash company that comes and picks up our trash and takes away. And we rent a container from them to put our trash in. And everything goes in that container. There are no separations. You know, when you have your menu, there's no special orders, you know. You have to take what the menu is. But this is what they do. They said, oh boy, we're going to have to do this, we're going to have to do that, we're going to have to do the other thing. And I said, just relax. Just relax. The county says separate it. Now you find out from the county how you're supposed to separate it. You have one big container that receives everything. Now, how are you going to contain it in that container? Do you think that when they go to the dump, they're going to reach in the container and pull these things out separately? No. Do you think that when they go to the dump, they're going to separate your stuff that you stuck in there and somebody else's stuff that they stuck in there, the container, the trash company is going to have five trucks they send to us every week. And these five trucks are one for bottles, one for paper, one for this. No way. Now, they will come to a conclusion. I'm sure that in Europe they come to conclusions too. But in Europe, it's a little more, over the years, they have built up a program. Now, perhaps the county of San Diego, the state of California, is going to come up with a program just like they do in Europe. Or better, of course, because we are better than Europe is. Europe has been doing it one way all of these years, and when we start doing it, we will have learned by all of their mistakes and all of their good features what's the best way to do it. And we will find that our public will be very obstinate about it. They will say, I don't want to do it. I don't want to separate this stuff for the county, for the state. I don't want to be a separator, you know. What do you think I am, a trash man? That I have to go out and separate my trash and separate these things? And, well, the county may say, yes, that's what we think you are. You have a right to live in this county, and one of the rights of living in this county is separating your trash. Now, do you think you can do that? Now, you are all from Europe. And you would find that not too onerous, except you're not accustomed to doing it here. You're not accustomed to doing it for many years. You've lived here on campus now at least 30 years. And that makes you pretty much Americans. And of course, you have your citizenship, you are Americans. And still, when the county says that you should do that, you think, oh my gosh, another task, another job for us to do, another something for us to think about. And you think, well, I'm used to doing it from being home. Well, did you do it when you were home, or did your mother do it, or did somebody else do it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Who did it? Did your husband do it? Did the children do it? Did they go out and take care of these things? Just stop and think about that. Mm-hmm. Now, California and the state of San Diego, plus I'm sure other states, are biting off a good chew. They're taking a responsibility for the separation of church and state in a very interesting way. They say bottles in here, cans in here, and things here and things there. Well, now, what is your first thought when someone says to you, you've got to separate your trash? Your first thought is, how can I get away with not doing it? How can I get away with not separating my trash? What won't they notice? And like I just said, we pay for our trash container by the week or by the month, and they come and they take our trash away in our trash container, and we have paid that we can throw anything we want in that trash container, and they'll take anything. Now, if they want us to separate it, they're going to have separate trash containers out there, and then they'll have to have separate trucks coming. They'll have to have one truck coming up once a week for bottles, and one truck coming up once a week for cans, and one truck coming up once a week for cartons and things. And I doubt that that is too practicable for them. I think that there'll be some very serious thinking going on in their part. And I say, you just think whatever they want you to do, and then say, show me. Show me how you want us to go about that. Now, that they show us how to go about it doesn't mean we're instantly going to say, hooray, we will do exactly as you say. What we're instantly going to say is, you wouldn't know any difference if I threw everything in or didn't, you know, because it all goes into one glut when it goes into the truck. Because they can't afford to send out trucks out into the country like this here and pick up separated trash containers, you know. There's no way. Now, maybe there is a way. Maybe they're going to do like they did in Europe, or like they do in Europe. If you live in the country, once a week you come in with your trash in separate containers, and you put it in separate containers in the city somewhere, on some city street where they have assigned it for that, and then that's what you do. Or, who knows what they'll do. Now, I'm telling you this in-depth story about trash containers for one reason. And the reason is that people do not like to do what they're told. People do not like to do things that are necessary. In Europe, they're used to doing it. And in Europe, they did one very noble thing. It was the war. Europe knows a lot about war. And it was a war, and the government says, you must do this, and so the people had to do that. There was no getting around it. You did not have to do it. You had to do it. You had to separate your trash. You had to separate your bottles. You had to separate these things, because it was for the war effort. And the things were used in the war effort. The cans were recycled and things like that. Now, that is a different motivation for doing something. That's when the federal and state and local governments get right on your back and say, you do it or else you go to jail. Now, I doubt that they'll pull something like that here in the United States, because that's not consistent with our programming. They will encourage us to do things, and they will have special drives to encourage us to do it, trying to make us want to do it, make us feel that it's something we should do it. But in the last analysis, it's going to come to what the term I don't like to use. It's called breaking your spirit. Now, when you house break a dog, you are breaking the dog's spirit of urinating wherever it wants to urinate. You're house breaking a dog from a habit that it has to a better habit for you. Now, wouldn't it be more interesting to train a dog? To train a dog to potty outside, not potty in the house? You train a cat to potty in the house in its potty box, you know. And you could train a dog to potty in the box. And some people are really quite talented. They train their dogs to sit on the john, to sit on the toilet. And some train them even to flush it afterwards, you know. Now, there's very few that have been so well trained. But there are some. And it's a novelty, but it can be done. Now, it's not really practical. Just train a dog to hold it, and when you go outside, then do your duty. Because the dog has learned to do them. And you have learned to do them. You have learned to hold your duty until you're near a bathroom, and then you go and use it. And you are in somebody else's house, you say, "May I use your bathroom, please?" And it's a courtesy, but it is something you do. Now, followed by the bell, the big thing, the big reason that people object so much is because they don't like to be told what to do. We are habitual like that. As children, we want to do it our way. And our way, usually as a child, is okay. But it's not what the parents want, and so the parents train us to do it their way. And they say, "Do it my way, because I'm your mother. Why should I do it your way? Because I'm your mother, or I'm your father. I tell you what to do." Well, that has been sort of a fighting battle all of our life, to do it the way somebody else wants it done. And we will not do it just to be obstinate and ornery. So, when the county state come along and say we should put our disposables in the trash in different containers, we are obstinate about it. And we're going to be obstinate about it. We're going to find all ways to ignore doing it the way they want it done and just do it the way we want to do it, and to heck with their requirements. But time will pass, maybe years, maybe decades, who knows, and the new program will be instituted and it will come into place. Do you remember when you used to go into the service stations and you went in the service station and they served your gas and oil and they washed your windshield and checked your air and your tires, did all that, no charge? Just for the gas, just for the oil, and they were glad to have you, and you went in there, and they were wonderful. Then, the man says to the station agent, "I see you're busy with a lot of customers there, I'll pour my own gas." "Oh no, sir, you cannot. You cannot use that pump, it's against the rules. It's against the rule for any customer to use the pump. The customers are not allowed to use the pump. Your customers are not allowed to pour their own gas. And women, oh my God, no, oh, oh, no, no, women. Women don't use the pump ever, you know." That was the rule. You may not remember it, but that was the rule. Men could not use the pump. You could not go into the station and do it. Unless you have to know the owner of the station and you were friends with him. And that was a rare experience. But that was just the rule. The rule was that the employee was to use the pump, and he was to do things right. And then they began having gas prices were such that they didn't make much money. So they started using credit cards, and they started using customer service and customer handling them things themselves. And only once in a month, perhaps, a person would drive off and forget to unplug the gas tank from the gas hose from their tank of their car. And they'd go along pulling the hose or the gas tank along the street. My wife did that one time. And it was an interesting thing. But the thing is that you laugh about it. Now, little by little, the rules changed. And now, it's not unusual for anyone to pump their own gas. And it's not unusual for a woman to get out and pump her own gas. She doesn't think a thing about it. It's not unladylike to do it. She does it. Now, these are habit changes that come about little by little, and people take them in their stride, and now it's not unusual at all. If you were to see the Queen of England driving down the street by herself, because she likes to drive her own car, and she pulled it into a filling station, and she gets out and fills her tank, and you'd think nothing about it. You'd think, my, she certainly is okay, you know. But she doesn't think anything about it. So you don't think anything about it. If she thinks something about it, don't they have anyone around here to serve the gas? Don't they have anyone to pump the gas? I mean, I'm the Queen of England. Well, ma'am, why don't you bring someone along, you know? Have your man in waiting drive ahead of you, or drive you, in fact. If you want to be a driver of a car and you want to fill your car with gas, you do it yourself, you know? Wouldn't that be something? You go into the self-service gas station and the Queen of England, and she says to the man in the self-service, I'm the Queen of England, would you serve my gas? Lady, I sit here and I take the money. I don't serve gas, you know? I don't do any of those things. Lady, do you think I'm going to get my hands off greasy and gassy serving gas? No way. That's not my job. That's not my job description. See, now it's going the other way. But the thing is, habits change, and they change so subtly that we oftentimes don't even realize they're changing, and we don't even realize that they're taking place. And the day will come when we will put our disposables in the way that the county and the state want it done. But there will have to come a reason for doing it. Not just the reason that the county says you got to do it. You see, if I say to you, when you're driving on icy streets, drive carefully. Do not drive above the limit you have of the control of your car. Well, you think you can control your car at 30, and you think you can control your car at 20, and you think you can control your car at 50, you know. Well, now, maybe you can. Maybe you can. But the thing is, everyone has to drive according to what they feel they can do. And if you're very timid about it, you don't want to go beyond your limit, because then you'll feel insecure and you'll cause an accident. And if you feel very sure of it, you'll probably drive very carefully but very quickly and not cause an accident. But you cause accidents because of your insecurity. Now, when people are insecure in doing things, they object the most. The war comes along, and during the war here, we had all sorts of things like separation of stuff and what have you, and people did things, and people saved their newspapers. My mother, she wanted a new carpet in the living room of our, well, throughout our house, in fact. And so mother said, okay, I'm going to have a new carpet. So for 3 years, she saved every rag, and even things that weren't rags. But she saved every piece of rag that was around the house. Every piece. The neighbors, wherever us kids could go and get the neighbor's rags, you know, we kids would tell the neighbors, Mom's saving up rags to make a carpet. She's going to send it down to Olson Carpet Company, and they're going to take the rags and recycle them and make them into a carpet. Oh, they did. They did. Our house at 1777 North 83rd Street in Wauwatosa had a beautiful, thick, greenish carpet, real thick, made out of our rags. And we had everywhere, over all the rooms and up the staircase and on the upstairs hall and everywhere. Just really quite nice. And that took discipline and dedication. But you see, saving the rags for that carpet was one thing. Saving the rags just to save rags, that would be not profitable, not anything people would want to do. There has to be a motivation. Now, when you have a motivation to save your trash properly and put it away properly as the county asks, then you'll do it easily. When you are programmed to it, you'll do it easily. When you have had a war or something like that that causes you to do it, or you have had some circumstance that causes you to do it, then you'll do it. If you were to go and visit your friends in their household, and their household was in a habit of doing it, you would soon enter right into what the household's program was. And when you go back home, you'd probably say, why don't we do that too? But the thing is, the motivation that we have for doing anything. Now, all of this leads to this. all of you say you would like to be spiritually illumined. You'd like to be aware of your spiritual path, of your spiritual direction. You would like to be illumined and just really fantastic. And I say to you, you can never have it, because you have no motivation to do that. You don't even know what spiritually illumined means. You have no idea what spiritually illumined means, because the minute you start thinking of what spiritually illumined means, then you want to run away from it. Because spiritually illumined, if you could bundle it together in two words, would be what?
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love. If you recognize spiritually illumined means unconditional love, do you have the capacity to understand what unconditional love is? No. You don't even have the capacity to understand. Unconditional love means you do not judge anybody under any circumstances for anything. Is that a mouthful? Do you know anybody on earth who has that capacity? Well, you say maybe Jesus did. Well, you don't even know Jesus. You don't even know any spiritually illumined being. You think you do. You look at some people and you say, why, they're really unconditionally loving. You know, they're really fantastic unconditional love. They're beautiful. Well, that's nothing. That's not. If you recognize that they are unconditionally loving, then you are not unconditionally loving, because you're judging their ability to love. You're aware that they are unconditionally loving you. And if you're aware of that, then you're not unconditionally loving. Mm-hmm. Because you're judging the very thing that they're doing. And now, when a person is beautiful, they're just beautiful. You cannot say to them they're beautiful, because the minute you say to them they're beautiful, you're judging them. But if you look at them and you just feel, oh, so good, you feel so fulfilled when you're with them, you feel uplifted, you feel like you're in the presence of something special. You don't know why or how or anything about it, but you're in the presence of something special. See, that's unconditional love. That's the being yourself and having fun. That's the ultimate of walking your spiritual path. Now, nobody has the capacity to do that. Because as long as you're human, you're going to have, it's hot, it's cold outside. I'm happy, I'm unhappy. I've got. Even in the movie last night about this little boy, the man says, you can have anything you want. He says, I have everything I want. I mean, as far as he was living in the moment. And in every moment he was living, he had everything he wanted. He had everything he wanted. And when he looked at these adults who were always trying to get something and always trying to make themselves happy from doing something, he thought to himself, you didn't get the message, did you? Just be yourself and have fun. Was that little boy himself and having fun? Oh, my, yes. Was he doing, and was he bad?
No.
He was he was doing everything, and did you fall in love with him?
Oh, yes.
Now, why did you fall in love with him? Because he was himself. Mm. Now, he was a good actor, that's for darn sure, but he was himself. Now, who trained him to act like that? I mean, he was good, and he was probably a good young child, what was he, maybe 10 years old, something like that, you know, and they pawned him off at 8. But he was a good young child, and he just was a good kid. But they gave him super goodness, you know? They gave him super intuitiveness, super awareness by the statements that they had him say. But he said them with such simplicity that you believe them. But you see, he too had to be trained as an actor. He too had to be trained as a person to follow the program, because otherwise he wouldn't fit into the movie, you know. He had to fit into all of the things. And was he playing his game? Now, what did he say to the lady who didn't want to buy his flowers and gave him money just to give him money? He said, I don't want your money. He says, but it's getting late for me to sell these flowers, so here, one for just for you. And they, isn't he sweet? Isn't he lovely? And then he took one flower and put it on the horse's tail. But you see, he did nonsensical things. And was that mean, putting a flower on a horse's tail? But it's just the type of thing that a kid might do. It's just the type of thing that a little rascal would do. He's trying to be cute and trying to be funny and trying to be, you know, obstreperous in different ways. But the thing, when you understand unconditional love, when you live unconditional love, when unconditional love is so much you that you don't have to think before you do something, you just do it. You don't have to think before you are loving, before you are thoughtful, before you are kind, before you make a remark. You don't have to think before you say something mean or hateful or loving or gentle. You know, you don't have to think. It's not your nature to be mean and hateful. It's your nature to be loving and gentle. It's your nature to be a beautiful being. It's your nature to be sensitive. It's your nature to be unconditionally loving without judgment of any kind. Now, when it's your nature to do that, wow, are you a super person to live? Oh, you're sickening to live with. You know why you're sickening to live with? Because anybody who lives with a person who is unconditionally loving, either they understand it or they fight it. Too good to be true. You're like that all the time? You're all the time unconditionally loving? My God, you know, people would say that to themselves. And when they fight it like that, they do not understand unconditional love. Because unconditional love does not need any compliment. It doesn't need any recognition. Now, your spiritual awareness is your spiritual awareness, and it doesn't need any recognition. The moment you recognize that you are spiritually illumined or spiritually aware, you are only halfway there. You are still on your way. The moment you are spiritually illumined and live in that spiritual illumination, you no longer have a journey to get there. You're there. You no longer have the journey to understand that you're seeking to achieve that awareness. You are there. And when you're there, there's nothing more to do. You know? When you're there, there's nothing more to be aware of. And this is why picking up trash and separating it and putting it in the containers is a bother for someone who's new to the game. But after you've lived in Europe for a long time, you're used to doing it. It's just, that's the way it's done. And now, you'd probably smile. What is this? A service station where they have gas station attendants who put gas in your car and wash your windshield and check your oil and the air and your tires? My gosh, we're going back to the 1940s, 1950s. My goodness sake, hey, this is cool, you know, it's memory time. But it could be that way. We could have service stations that would take care of it. But I think our science is going to come up with something a little different. You see, we have come up with cars that you do not have to grease. They are greased for the life. We'll come up with cars you don't have to oil. They will have oil in them that they'll be there for life. I mean, if the grease can do it, the oil can do it too. And then?
Gas.
Yes, Ellen? You come up with a car that doesn't need gas. It has enough gas. It has a gas, what would you say, an energy module or energy capsule in it that is good for a million miles. But, you know, if it's good for a million miles, people will be driving further. People will be traveling to the moon or things like that, you know. But wouldn't that be exciting? And, I mean, this is just what it's all about. This is just it all. You cannot conceive of going to the gas station and not having the attendant fill it, because the attendant always does it. Then all of a sudden, it's not done anymore. Just like that. You have to do it yourself. And at first, a few femme fatales say, I can't do that. I won't. Sir, would you fill my gas tank for me? You know, lady, you got to do it yourself. You know, I don't know you. You know, and so I'll pay you. Pay me to fill your tank with gas. You know, and some people do that. Now, Ellen handled that very well. Ellen never had to fill her gas tank. Her chauffeur filled the tank and had it ready in the garage for her every morning. Took care of the oil, took care of the gas, checked the air on her tires, and the whole thing, and had the car fully cleaned and vacuumed and polished inside and out. Ellen says, I never have to put gas in my car. I never have to put oil in my car. My car is always polished beautiful. And she meant it. She was so naive. She knew truly that somebody did it, but she was so naive, she just felt that that could possibly be true. Now, she could create that, and she did. You could create it, and you do. Do you create your car not needing oil and gas? With an energy module in it? You have it in your little tiny finger here. You have enough energy in your little finger to, you know, do anything. So start recognizing that your body has that energy to do everything. Start recognizing that being in the allness, being in the infinite, being in the awareness of your divinity, you know, you got that right now. You got that. Yeah, you are an illumined being right now. You are your divine self right now. You are your allness right now. You are. But the thing is, do you want it? And the answer is no. Because you fight changing the garbage around and now sorting it all out and putting it in different containers. You fight saying, well, now let's see, they say that we shouldn't eat so much red meat. Red meat is not good for our body, that it causes our body to overwork and do these things. The less red meat we eat, the better. And I'm going to have my hamburgers, I'm going to eat them. But little by little, you just change. You just change because inside of you, the message is going around, hey, cut back a little bit, you know, you don't need that much, and you're satisfied with the lesson. And so little by little, it's talking to you. Little by little, there's the inner voice is revealing this to you. You're getting it from your outer source at the moment. But one day, you'll have it all from your inner source. And when you do, then you'll be just living in paradise. And you won't need food, and you won't need water, you won't need air, you won't need all these things. But that's a little while away yet. But the point is, right now, you can start putting the causes in motion for your ideal expression of who you are and where you are. So you don't want to separate the garbage, huh? Well, as soon as you get over that little hurdle, you'll find that you eat less red meat and you'll eat more foods that are beneficial to you. And the foods are not beneficial to you. The thing that's going on with this is that you are being trained to eat less and less and less. And as you are trained to eat less and less and less, you will find that you live longer, healthier, and happier. Just like they say of the mice that are fed a near-starvation diet, they live many lifetimes. And just like they say, do not overfeed your pet, because all you're doing is giving him burdens. You're giving him burdens of many things that you don't want, because you overfed yourself and you've given yourself burdens. So, today, say to yourself, I am magic. I am unconditional love. And I like me. Ha ha! But I love you. I love you. I love you. Yes.